Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Wednesday, December the 10th, 2025. And you might say, Tim, I hear a little spring in your voice. If you can have a spring in your voice, it's because it's going to warm up the next couple of days, and I'm so happy. Ed Vitagliano, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Good morning to you, Tim.
And literally just a couple. Because
yeah, well, I know, but I'm just happy for those
you can get.
Ed, repeat what you just said,
because it's the truism. During the winter.
That's right, that's right. So it's going to, and I don't know about...
Wow, but Wesley's right. Yes. Starting
and we're talking about our geographical location yes. on the planet, which is Tupelo, Mississippi.
The lows Sunday 23 Monday 20 degrees.
I don't want to hear it. My fingers are in my ears.
That's right.
All I know is Friday is 65, baby.
That's it.
And Saturday's 57, and we're not even going to think of. Whoa, hello. Sunday, boom.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know.
So you got a spring in your step, but there's no spring weather after Saturday.
All right, now let me just say all that right. What Wesley just did is a perfect picture of right. the relationship my wife and I have. Mm-hmm. I will say, hey, the weather looks like it's going to warm up, just like we're saying.
And half glass full.
Yes, half full. And yes. then she'll say, yeah, but it's going to it's going to drop.
Half past empty.
Yeah. I'll say, man, that food was good. Yeah, but it costs a lot.
That's right.
Wesley, be honest, you really don't care because you're a deer hunter.
Right. So yeah,
this time,
I actually have a reason for the cold weather. If it wasn't for hunting, then there would be no good reason for cold weather.
Well, Tim, I do think about you on this because you yeah. have, over the last several years especially, really griped about the cold weather.
Is it noticeable?
Oh, it's noticeable. The older you get, the more noticeable it is for all of us. But I just wanted to encourage you because yeah. I know that when we leave and it's dark, that bothers you. But starting December 21st, I think, it's usually 21 or 22.
All right.
That becomes that's the shortest day, the shortest amount of sunlight, I think, of the year.
That's right.
And then from that point on, the day after that, the days start to get longer.
1 minute.
Yep.
1 minute each day.
You know what? Just you saying that, my heart has been warmed.
So look forward okay. to it, even before
so
Christmas.
So you're telling me December 21st is the shortest day of the year.
In terms of amount
us,
of sunlight.
For us here in this hemisphere.
Well, yes, Northern Hemisphere.
The Northern Hemisphere, it's the shortest day, and then things start to turn around.
They do. They start to turn around. That's the way you should think of it.
But you know what? Here I go. But
you're going to bring me down, Fred?
They're doing away with daylight savings. No, I'm just kidding.
There are some people have this expectation. Oh, boy. You know, it's going to be a little bit longer. That means it's going to warm up.
No.
This is coming from a Canadian perspective.
Right. Yeah.
All right, because we went through this December 21st thing.
Yeah.
But the coldest weather comes after that
yes,
in Canada.
Yes, January.
January and February.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Minus temperatures. So where I come from in Nova Scotia, you really got to wait to April or May. And
to
then,
be
the
happy.
Day, then the days start getting shorter again in June.
Yeah. And warmer, you're talking about.
I think the Lord knew where he was placing me on the planet.
Hot, muggy
yeah,
summers of Mississippi.
I do like seasonal change. I do. I would not.
Really anything below 40 is just too cold.
Although I've said to myself, you know, self, wouldn't you enjoy summertime all year long?
Yeah.
And self has said, you bet I would. But really, you appreciate you know, sunshine and warmth when you have a little cold and dreary times.
Human beings, I have discovered, this applies to everyone else, doesn't apply to me, but human beings can find ways to complain about anything. Yeah. So if you were born and lived all your life down in Florida, you'd be going, man, are you kidding? We don't ever have a change of season.
The salt off the ocean is just thick.
It rushed your car.
To your point. Our younger years, when our kids were really young, we go to Clearwater Beach almost every year.
Yeah.
And we go down there, and of course it was April. Oh, thank the good Lord.
Yeah.
You know, that sun just felt so good. And you talk to the locals, it's so nice here.
Yeah, but
you know,
coming.
And then they would say,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I really like to be in a place where there's a change in seasons.
Yes.
And I'd say that's called the North.
Right.
There's nothing stopping you.
And in Nova Scotia, we do have summer in July.
That's right.
Yes.
We got 6 weeks.
Now, fortunately for my wife, I am not much of a complainer. Okay, but other people I've heard do complain a lot.
Because you stay in the house, right?
Let me call your wife.
Yeah. No, I tend to gripe.
All right, I will say there's one thing that's absolutely true. None of us can do anything about the weather.
That's right. That's right.
We're at the mercy of what rolls around.
Yep.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues, not the Weather Channel, here on the American Family Radio Network. We got a lot to talk about. And it was good to have Ray Pritchard in studio with us yesterday, Brother Ray. And he's got the book. I'll ask him about it tomorrow. But
his Advent book on so go keep there, believing.
It's free.
Yep.
And it's a daily devotion leading up to Christmas Day.
Right.
I'm sure he has a hard copy, but you can do it online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keepbelieving.com, I think, is a website. Yeah. Keepbelieving.com. All right, Fred, what's your first story?
Well, you know, President Donald Trump has a boss. He really does. And he's admitted that from time to time. Okay. Her name is Susan Wiles. That's his chief of staff. Okay. She ran his campaign last year, a successful campaign. Well, she's chief of staff now. And she gave an interview earlier this week. And she said, he may not know it yet, referring to the president, but he's hitting the road. And he's going to be out there campaigning like it was 2024 again. Well, he hit the road last night. He went to Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania, strong Trump territory, but he was there for a rally. And basically, they feel he needs to get back on the road because the Democrats are really working up the issue for next year's midterm elections being the economy, all right? Affordability is a phrase or a word that you hear a lot from them. So, in his speech last night, what did he talk about? The economy, a whole bunch. Cut number one.
I have no higher priority than making America affordable again. That's what we're going to do. And again, they caused the high prices, and we're bringing them down. It's a simple message. And we're bringing those prices down rapidly. Lower prices, bigger paychecks. You're getting lower prices, bigger paychecks. We're getting inflation. We're crushing it.
Everything is beautiful.
In its own way.
Well,
was that inside or outside, by the way? I'm just curious.
It was inside.
Back to weather again. Was that an indoor arena?
Pennsylvania, I'm sure that's inside.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I was just going to say, technically, in some areas, prices have come down. I think we are at the lowest gas price in 5 or 6 years. There are some prices that have come down. The reason I think you're going to, our listeners and everyone else is going to hear the word affordability is because I don't think those prices have come down enough across the board, and people are still feeling that in their pocketbook. And so to just say, what I'm saying is Republicans need to be very careful here to just say Biden and the Democrats caused the high prices, we're bringing them down, is not going to fly if people aren't actually feeling that when they go and do their grocery shopping. So all I'm saying is Republicans need to be very careful to also address the things that are the issues and inflation that is still plaguing the American people.
Now, are you trying to put the words Trump and very careful together? Is that what you're trying to bridge there?
Well, he's out there, you know, those kinds of rallies are like parties for the faithful. And, you know, nobody at a Christmas party or a New Year's party, who's going to get into discussions about, you know,
affordability,
war, you know, but so at those kind of things, I think you're going to, because it's red, you're going to get red meat and you're going to get, you know, the kind of responses, you know, that you're going to get from your fans. But for the wider voting public, you're going to have to make some progress here. Anyway, I've talked enough.
But the gas prices are confirmed going down.
Oh, gas prices.
They've been definitely lowest in 5 years.
Yeah, very good. You know, at the rally last night, and I think you can expect this at these rallies that Trump is going to be having across the country over the next several months, there will people will come up to give testimonies as to what President Trump is saying. One of those last night was Megan Hemhauser. She is a Pennsylvania mom, homeschooler, and she told the crowd how Trump's tax policies are really helping her. Cut number three.
As President Trump said, I'm a mom, a wife, I homeschool my two brilliant children, and the no tax on tips is incredible. No tax on overtime is incredible for my husband, and it all comes back to our family. It saves us, and it's for the future of our children, and it's been such a blessing to be home with them and to have them here with me tonight, and thank you for everything.
So I think that's going to be the game plan for these rallies.
But voters have to be feeling that it's true for them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's something that I was talking to Dad about the other day in the hallway, is that I'm not sure we'll ever, I think myself included and others could possibly be having an unrealistic expectations about what can be done.
Yeah.
And how far, I don't think there's any really going back. Now, I know that sounds a little cynical. I think it's more so catching up. And it's just a matter of how quick can we catch up to all the increases in food and electric bills and garbage bills and just the price of living. So I
just tell your mom all bills are garbage. You know, I don't like any of them.
No.
In a metaphoric way.
Yeah. That's right. No.
Bills are just garbage.
But somebody's got to.
You're talking about like your monthly garbage.
Yeah, monthly garbage bill.
Listen, the economy is always the number one issue, generally speaking. Maybe always, almost always the number one issue.
Well, it's the top three no matter what, regardless.
Yeah, that's right. Especially in a presidential campaign or a midterm election cycle, which we're about to go through. I don't know, we're all looking forward to that, aren't we? For the next 10 months, all the ads on TV and interrupting our internet.
And the emails.
And the email. Oh, man.
Asking about, for money.
Be bombarded. So I would just say whoever's in the White House, historically, that party loses seats in the House of Representatives and perhaps the Senate. I don't know the history of the Senate as much as the House they usually use. So that's staring the Republicans, Trump and the Republicans, in the face on how do we prevent, you know, the takeover of the House of Representatives by the Democrats. And the economy will be a big issue. So Trump's got to get out there and say what's good about the economy, while the Democrats and the liberal media are going to be telling people what's bad about it.
Well, and the reason I think for that, which you're talking about, this historical pattern of the party in power in the White House loses seats generally for the House, like you said, in the midterms, is because whoever wins the White House in a presidential election year has, generally speaking, won because he has promised to make the economy better.
Yeah,
and then in the 2 years between that election and the midterms, most people go, well, they failed because things haven't gotten better.
Yeah.
And the fact is, 2 years is a relatively short amount of time to turn around an economy. Presidents don't always have the kind of authority they need constitutionally to implement their plan. They've got to get the other party to agree to make changes. And so 2 years, you're probably not going to make the kinds of changes that you promised. And then that's why you get that kind of backlash in the midterm.
Well, can we expect, well, didn't he redo or re-sign the extension to his tax cuts?
To my Trump?
Trump.
Yeah.
His team, didn't he do that?
That part of the big, beautiful bill.
I think that's part. Okay, so, I mean, he can at least say he did that part.
Right.
Within what he can't control.
Yeah.
All right, next story, Fred.
Well, somewhat related, there was an election yesterday in Miami for the mayor. Okay. And for the first time in nearly 30 years, a Democrat won that election. And, of course, the Democrats are saying this is just another sign. The nation is not happy with the direction that Donald Trump is taking the country. GOP strategist Hannah Cox on what she thinks the win by the Democrat there for the mayor's post in Miami really means as far as the midterms go. Cut number 10.
I mean, at the national scale, we're going to be watching every single race. And of course, that's just natural. People tend to have off years when you have a party in power. And I think that we can expect to see some other losses. The economy has not turned around in the ways that people were hoping it would under Trump. I think that's really going to be the largest determinant right now. We're still feeling the effects of the tariffs. We haven't really gotten the relief at the working class and middle class levels that people are hoping for. If that turns around by next year, then I don't think Republicans are going to have that much to worry about in the midterms. And I certainly don't think this one race in Florida is indicative of them having a huge, massive problem at a national scale. But I also think if we continue to see the same economic outcomes that we're currently living with, then we could see some big losses. Mm.
The other factor people are saying, the strategist with regards to Miami, obviously has a big population, Hispanic population, Latino population, Cubans, Hondurans, and others. And Trump did very well amongst them in 2024. And there is a belief that they, now that's what some strategists are saying, there is a belief that they are getting, that population, Latino population, is getting concerned about Trump's war on illegal immigration, that it's making them nervous. So I think you're going to see that in some areas that Trump did very well in 2024. And we talked about this at our story meeting this morning about the images that people are seeing sometimes with ICE operations in various cities make people nervous. In fact, the AP story that we have on our site right now with regards to this Miami race is it talks about people who voted for Trump last time, but they're getting worried about the possible impact on family members, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think part of the way to minimize the blowback, politically speaking, on this issue for Republicans is to tie it to the economy. Okay. I got to say, now I expected the left to go ballistic when ICE was turned loose to arrest these, detain these people and deport them. And that's what they're doing. The left is the one creating a lot of the violence that appears in the confrontations over snatching somebody up. But I am kind of surprised that the American people haven't turned against this more than they have, because of the images, and the images are everywhere on social media, so Americans are seeing it. I thought they might react more strongly to it. I think the reason they haven't is that they understand this has to happen because of the economic impact, the impact on their local hospital or on SNAP benefits and all these things economically, driving wages down. I think the American people caught on during the Biden administration that all these people flooding the country illegally was having an effect on their pocketbook. And I think that's why Americans are still fairly patient about this process.
And also, too, the first level of promise from the Trump administration when he was campaigning was to get rid of the not only illegal immigrants, but those that have committed violent crimes.
Right.
And so with that being the lead point, it's hard to... It gets the attention of your everyday hardworking American citizen.
Right.
And they're in support of that almost regardless of how you get it done.
Yeah. Right.
Now that doesn't mean that will change as as it gets down to the others.
Yeah.
But if it's an illegal criminal alien, they just about don't care how you get them out.
Right.
Or the appearance of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I've said before on many occasions, it never looks good on TV when law enforcement have to really crack down on somebody or people. And It's the same with ICE. I mean, they're going after people who, when they see them coming, they're going to confront them. They're going to fight back. They're going to shoot back. They're going to run. They're going to act violently. I mean, because they don't want to be caught.
Right.
So when you get that on camera, and these ICE agents are oftentimes having to, I'm not an expert on this, but these ICE agents are often like SWAT teams. They've got to come in and swoop down on somebody who's leaving the grocery store because that's the only place they can catch them.
Right.
They can't let them go. Now, who are they detaining? Who are they arresting? Who are they deporting? I don't know, except they tell us these are people who either they're supposed to have left the country, or they, you know, they were supposed to appear at a court, a hearing 20 years ago, or they've been involved in gang activity. That happens a lot. Drug running, human trafficking, they're bad people.
Yeah.
And so it really comes down sometimes to whether you trust what the Trump administration and the ICE said that they're doing in terms of who they're going after and who the Democrats say they're going after, which are people who are here maybe without documentation but aren't harming anybody.
Right.
Just living their lives peacefully. That's what the Democrats are going to say. That's what they're going to use to say that's who Tom Homan and ICE are really going after. You see what I'm saying?
And that is true. And that worked for a while. But I think the Trump team and with Caroline Leavitt and their press conferences, putting up the images of these criminals over and over again.
But these fake ICE
videos.
Videos are AI going around. The AI generated, like the ones in Gaza that were going around, which are fake, but they go viral. And many people believe what they're seeing.
Believe they're real.
They believe they're real. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, but the Miami did switch for the first time in how long, 30 years?
Almost 30 years,
The mayoral race from Democrat to Republican.
Yep.
If you're a Republican, you're probably going, well, maybe...
it's a matter of time.
I need to pay attention to that, because that did happen, and maybe there's a reason that happened that we need to address on the campaign trail. In so much as they can address it on the campaign trail. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. I tell you what, let's take our break a minute or two early here. There's the music. And speaking of music, we've had that music for 30 years.
Speaking about 30 years.
That music right there we've had since 1990, winter, when we started this show.
Think it's time for a change?
I don't. That's a question I can't answer right now. I think not.
It's too cold.
I think
it's
not.
Too cold
it's
to think
too
about.
Cold to think
How
about
some bagpipe music?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Every day. No. I can hear it at a funeral, but once a year. But I wouldn't want to hear bagpipes blowing all the time. I would throw things at the bagpipe man.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
The bagpipe man. Man, you're asking the wrong guy. I can help you with marinara sauce.
Okay, we'll be back.
We're living in a time when truth is under attack. Lies are easy to tell, easy to spread, and easy to believe. But truth is costly. And nowhere is the cost greater than for mothers in crisis. When a woman is told abortion is her only option, silence and lies surround her. But when she walks into a preborn network clinic, she's met with compassion, support, and the truth about the life growing inside her. That moment of truth happens through a free ultrasound, and it's a game changer. When a mother sees her baby and hears that heartbeat, it literally doubles the chance she'll choose life. Preborn Network clinics are on the front lines, meeting women in their darkest hour, loving them, and helping them choose life and sharing truth. Friend, this is not a time to be silent. It's a time for courage, for truth, for life. Just $28 provides one ultrasound and the opportunity for a mother to see her baby, to help her choose truth and life. Donate today. Call #250 and say baby. That's #250, baby. Or give online at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Wesley Wildman, and Fred Jackson. And if you listen long enough, you'll learn who our voices are. We are ourselves.
Who they belong to.
And who they belong to. So much to get to here. We encourage you to go to our news site. Keep up with our news. Fred Jackson is our news director. Tell our listeners what's available to them, Fred.
AFN.net. AFN.net is a great place to go because our team of reporters and editors every day keeping you up to date on the big stories of the day. Mm-hmm. And we also give you an opportunity to sign up for our daily email. Okay. You go up to the right-hand corner of that site, and you can just put your email address in there, all you have to do, and we will send you just once a day, Monday through Friday, a complete summary of the top stories of the day. We will not pester you. We will not bother you with anything else. That's what you're going to get, a summary. And it is great, as I've said many times before, great to share with your kids and take it to Sunday school because it has all kinds of interesting topics that your Sunday school class might want to discuss. So AFN.net, go to the right-hand corner, sign up today for our daily Monday through Friday email.
So the motto of our American Family Radio News is, quote, we will not pester you.
That's right.
End quote. That's what Fred said. You hear?
That's right.
We went up. That is what I like about our approach here. You know, we're just going to send you one email a day in the afternoon that gives you a news digest.
Yes.
And we are, you know, a Christian organization, so we care about what the truth is.
Yes.
We do. We care about what the truth is. So if you get our news and information, you're going to get as best in the world we can determine what the accurate news is, or what the truth is.
And we touch on the topics that are important to conservative Christians. And, you know, I often get phone calls with regards to covering Israel. What people appreciate, one of the things they appreciate, we cover Israel and that what's going on with the Jewish people. One of the big stories of this past year has been the anti-Semitism that Jews have been facing in this country and conservative Christians who support Israel and the Jewish people, what they've been running into on college campuses, et cetera, et cetera. And we actually have a couple of reporters that cover those beats that deal with those kinds of stories. So, folks, you know, there are other big news agencies out there. But one of the things that bugs me and why I emphasize we only send one email a day, I obviously sign up from these other news agencies, see what's going on. But they're sending breaking news like every 30 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, Sean Hannity gets the ham sandwich. It's breaking news. I mean, that used to annoy me. I don't listen. Still have a lot of respect for what Fox News does and their lineup, and I think they do. You know, they do a good job overall covering the news. But the breaking news, bing, bing, whatever they used to do, used to drive me nuts because they would do that over and over and over again. I'm going, that's not breaking news.
No.
It may be new to you.
You make me turn my head toward the TV to see something like some big story, and all you're talking about is, like I said.
Something that happened in Detroit.
I know that
it doesn't have anything to do with me.
Right. Yeah. It's raining hard in Chicago. Yeah. News alert.
The Epoch Times, I know they do good work. And when they first started years ago.
Who does the Epoch Times?
Epoch.
Is that what
I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Is it Epoch or Epoch? Fred?
Epoch.
Oh, I got that one right.
You got that one right. Hey,
go, bro.
Even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while.
Or even a broken clock. Even a broken clock.
Twice a day.
Oh, man. I think we should just stop there. Forget my point, right?
No, got it. The Epoch Times.
The Epoch Times. When they first started a couple years, it may have been more than a couple years now, but I was really appreciated. I still appreciate their work and really good stuff. But they sold out or something. There was a big change a couple of years back after the founding of it, and I've just checked out completely because of the emails. That's 100% why I've checked out. It is every 30 minutes. And then half of the emails they give you, they want you to give some money in order to read the story. And I'm going, like,
it's almost always behind a paywall.
You know what? I would tell them, I will pay you if you quit sending me emails.
Yeah, I will give you $5. Now, I'll tell you what, in all seriousness, I'm right here at AFN. The story we just covered right there, front and center of AFN. The Democrat wins Miami mayor's race. AFN, American Family News.
Yeah, folks, please take advantage of that. American Family News, that Fred leads our team over there. They do a great job, and we have, you know, part of our ministry is dedicated to covering the news events of the day and doing so from a Christian perspective. And so take advantage of it. AFN.net. You can also get their app. You can get their news brief, again, once a day. Mm-hmm. Is that 4 or 5 days a week?
5 days a week.
5 days a week. Once a day, you get your news digest. And like Fred said, we're not going to sell your name or your email address. We're not going to bother you any more than you agree to take one email a day. That's all you're going to get. And it's going to have the news of the day in one composite.
What a great thing. How much does that cost, Fred?
Not a penny.
It's free, folks.
It's free because people write us checks.
Yes.
Support our ministry.
That's right.
Mm. Did you guys see this small plane that landed on the interstate in Florida, I-95?
Yes.
Is that breaking news, Tim?
Bing, bing, that's breaking news. It happened overnight. I don't know. Bing, bing's not going to work for breaking news. I might have something more. Anyway, this plane.
It was a twin-engine plane.
Yeah.
And there's
it's
video.
It's captured on video of somebody driving down the interstate and
this plane comes down, lands on a car. Cam. It's a twin engine. And what surprised me, both engines quit. Tim, I've often heard you say, you're not getting an airplane with one engine.
I'm not.
Or one pilot.
or one pilot. It's not going to do it.
And I've adopted that same because when you explain the reasons behind it, I said, that sounds smart. The captain's safety, which is what my kids called me, I said, no, if it has one pilot or one engine, I'm not getting on it.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that's paranoid.
No.
I just think that's reasonable.
Who wants to be on a plane where you go, man, I wish I had.
Right.
I wish I had
listened to Tim and not got on a plane with one motor, one engine.
But this one had two engines.
And they both failed?
And they both failed. And
well,
so,
then you go, it's my time.
Now, I give credit.
My number's up.
I give credit to this pilot, though. She did a very good job. I mean, the option that
putting
they had,
all those cars at risk. That's
put it
right.
down. He plunked it on top of a car that was moving along. The good news of the story also is that I think there were minor injuries to the guy in the car. The two people that were in the airplane, not a scratch.
The person on the ground in the car that was hit was not seriously injured.
No.
So
Praise the Lord. Yes.
This happened, it looks like it happened at twilight if it was last night.
It was on the I-95
somewhere in Florida. I-95 is the most traveled interstate in America from Miami to Maine. And, this reminded me, our colleague and friend J.J. Jasper.
Mm-hmm. He did the same thing. He landed on the highway.
Yes. Yeah, but I think he was in one of those single engine planes.
Yes, he was.
It was, yeah.
And when he got down on the ground, I said,
We talked about this.
So
I remember him telling the story of that incident that he knew the sheriff of the area where the plane came down. And the sheriff first word is JJ, why couldn't you have landed in some other county?
You were going to
mess you correct
paperwork.
Well, everybody was safe there too.
Yes,
thank God.
Right. Yes,
everybody was safe there. But JJ and his co-pilot, they did have to land their plane on the highway. It wasn't an interstate, but it was a 4-lane highway.
I did advise JJ that he should check the fuel tanks before he takes off.
Make sure it's got gas.
That's right.
That's another rule of mine.
I
want twin engines. I need two pilots, and I need gas in the plane.
Yes.
Enough gas to get you going where you need to go. All right. So anyway, thank God everybody's okay. But that did happen last night. You're driving down the highway and you see a plane come over your head like these guys did who are filming this.
Yeah, this dash cam shows the plane coming right over them. Yeah.
You've seen the movies that are the end of the world, you know, a flood or
every once in a while.
Yeah, see those movies. That's kind of what you think about planes landing. Oh no, what's next?
Oh, I know what could possibly happen next. But there's no zombies getting out of the plane though. right here, what we're seeing. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred. Fred, what's the next story there?
Well, we've been talking about election campaign, next year's midterms. Images are important, the images that people have in their minds. Well, one image has been burned in people's minds in recent weeks are the efforts by our U.S. military to take out those drug boats. All right? We're seeing that creating a lot of controversy. I was watching an interview with the Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul yesterday. He doesn't like anything about this, and he's very outspoken about it. He, you know, of course, been a lot of talk lately about the two survivors and the second missile that went in. This was the September 2nd interview. He doesn't even think, the impression I was left, that the United States should even go after these boats at all. All right? That's where he stands on this. So yesterday, the Senate Minority Leader, Chuck Schumer, he was part of a group of eight that went into a room to watch the video of the first hit, the second hit on that September 2nd incident. And Chuck Schumer is calling for a complete investigation of all of this. And
what's the controversy about that particular episode?
Well, the controversy has to do with the second missile being fired at... And the image that's out there, because we have not seen the second missile image, is that there were two guys in the water that survived the first missile. The debate is between people like some Republican senators is that these guys were trying to get the boat back stable again. And there's been talk that they were on the radio trying to get help, etc. The argument is that made them a legitimate target. It was a reminder, and there's been a reminder, that this decision to send the second missile in wasn't just made by Admiral Bradley, who was in charge at that point. That there were lawyers in the Situation Room that gave their approval, that said this was a legal hit. Not surprised, as I say, some Republicans are still concerned, but the Democrats believe this was an atrocity and even saying illegal. Here's a little bit of what Chuck Schumer had to say after viewing these videos yesterday, cut number five.
It was a very unsatisfying briefing. Would he let every member of Congress see the unedited videos of the September 2nd strike? His answer, we have to study it. In terms of Venezuela, I asked them what their strategy is and did not get satisfying answers at all.
Now, he was talking about Secretary of War Hegseth there. Mark Thiessen is an analyst that Fox uses a lot, former presidential writer. He says it would be good, the Democrats would have greater credibility in their argument if they had made the same argument when Barack Obama was doing this during his presidency. Here's Mark Thiessen, cut number six.
Yeah, where was Chuck Schumer's outrage when Barack Obama was doing it? Donald Trump has declared the cartels terrorist, foreign terrorist organizations. Barack Obama launched over 560 drone strikes against terrorists during his presidency, including one that killed an American citizen, Anwar al-Awlaki. He did double tap strikes regularly. I interviewed David Shedd, his head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, which was tasked with all the intelligence to carry those out. They did double tap strikes all the time. They did signature strikes, which are strikes where you don't even know who the target is. You just know that they're behaving in a suspicious way, and so you take them out. My understanding is we know who these people are in most of these strikes. So, you know, Barack Obama said my actions are legal and they're necessary and they're right. And I don't recall Chuck Schumer ever standing before the cameras questioning Barack Obama. He's something of a hypocrite here.
I would say that Chuck Schumer is also being hypocritical because he, now, I'm just going by the clip we heard and the stuff that I've read. I have not heard. So when Chuck Schumer says, hey, we want to know what the Secretary of War and the Trump administration's Venezuela strategy is. Well, Chuck, Senator Schumer, why don't you ask Venezuela what their strategy is? Why don't you talk to them about the drugs that are being run from Venezuela to the U.S.? Now, I made my opinion on the drone strikes clear last week. I won't get back into that. I think it's a law enforcement issue, not a military one. But for the Democrats and Chuck Schumer to be criticizing the Trump administration not only opens up them, the Democrats, to criticism along the lines of what Mark Thiessen said, but they don't seem to care. This goes across the board when it comes to illegal immigration and ICE deportations. They don't seem to care about Americans who are victims of what these illegal immigrants are doing in terms of committing crimes. Okay, and they also don't seem to care about what Venezuela's doing in sending all these drugs to the United States. To me, this should be a bipartisan issue. Everybody should be on board. You want to protect America. You want to keep Americans safe. We should all be on board in getting Venezuela to stop. And if they don't, maybe we need to take additional steps. Same thing with illegal immigrants. If they're committing crimes, they should be arrested, you know, imprisoned or deported. You don't ever hear Democrats saying, yeah, we agree with that.
Nor do you ever hear them provide a solution or an alternative. Unlike Ed did, even though Ed and I had a disagreement on this, Ed actually gave what he would actually, the alternative, another solution.
Right.
I'm not hearing anything from the Democrats of, okay, we should do it this way, or we should do it that way. All they say that this is illegal while also ignoring the fact that this took place under the Obama administration.
What's Senator Rand Paul's objection?
His objection, he doesn't think any of this is legal. He certainly is not in agreement with the second missile, September 2nd, but he's not sure that the United States should be taking out these drug-running boats. Now, he says we haven't really proven they have drugs in those boats. That's his opinion. So that's his objection, that we shouldn't be doing this. But here's what's interesting. A story came out yesterday or the day before. The Europeans are starting to do the same thing. In fact, there was video of a European, looks like a Coast Guard vessel, after one of these boats. Really strange. The boat looked exactly like the ones that we've been blowing up off of the coast of Venezuela.
And that was over drugs?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. They're doing the same thing.
It's I'm kind of torn a little bit on this issue because I lean toward Ed's. This is not a military issue. This is a law enforcement issue. Coast Guard, for example, although Coast Guard military, right? But I mean,
it is, yeah.
But I mean, if you want to detain, stop boats from coming into the U.S. When they get into our airspace or our shoreline, I don't know what that extends to, 10 miles, 15, 20 miles, I don't know what the... Then
I think it's 12 miles.
Then that's traditionally been the way that we've handled it.
Yes, we've seen in that the Navy has worked with the Coast Guard together to stop and arrest
when they get into U.S.
territory.
Mm-hmm. But this in this,
I was just gonna say I'm just now pulled up this article because you were talking about Europe. Fred was talking about Europe.
I had another thought, but
go ahead. I'm sorry,
but you know that's okay.
Go ahead.
I can wait.
No,
if you give me a second, I'll write down what I was where I was so I won't forget it. Like when I go to Walmart. Until why am I here?
Yeah, because you'll blame me. Like my wife will blame me.
But you have an excuse here. You don't have an excuse when you forget the milk.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you were finished, but you go.
Really?
You go right ahead, Mr. President.
You sounded finished. Okay. But anyway, where was I? So I say torn because that's my view. If you were just to ask me what I think about this, but on the other hand. You know, this is President Trump does a lot of things and has done a lot of things that's outside the box of our conventional way of thinking that makes you think, well, maybe he's right on how he's handling this. And this is one of those cases where I go, you know what? I don't. If you ask me, do I like blowing boats out of the water in the middle of the Caribbean because we think there's drugs on there, or we would say we know there's drugs on there, going to the U.S., I'm going to say, well, if he hits about 5 or 10 of these boats and blows them out of the water, guess what? There's going to be some second thinking about from the drug cartels about whether we're going to keep sending them out there.
There's like a lot that. Of money lost.
That's what I'm saying. So from that extent, President Trump and Pete Hegseth could be right. Again, assuming this is legal constitutionally.
It is, because remember that when Trump became into office, he designated, there's a list of them right here. There's 1, 2.
Oh, you
three,
mean
four,
terrorist organizations?
5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah,
cartels.
Cartels, okay. Narco-terrorism.
And President Trump is right. When he, I think yesterday he said this or something to this effect. Taking that boat out saved thousands of American lives from using those illegal drugs that could have possibly killed them. That's what he said, and I'm going, again, not talking about the... is that particular statement true? And that's probably true. Go ahead.
Yeah, but we probably could end on that. I'll end on this. But
blow us out of the water with your comments.
I know.
Can you do that?
I know that we, and for good reasons, we emphasize the drugs on the boat. I get that. There's a reason, because it's the emphasis. But if you look at the way the White House, well, if you gave them 15 minutes to explain this, this is more than just the drugs on the boat. This is a ripple effect of sex trafficking
right,
of
right,
children.
Right.
This is the money that funds the actual terrorism outside the narco-terrorism.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's a bigger piece of the pie.
More sophisticated approach to law, to dealing with these.
Cutting the head off the snake
thing. Yeah, so. I got you.
Well, to that point.
Yeah. Did you write down what you were going to say?
I do have something.
He's changing his mind.
Just briefly. No, I'm not changing my mind.
But this
does complicate it. What I'm about to share,
sure.
Going to what Fred had mentioned about Europe. This is a headline on a Fox News story. Europe literally being flooded with cocaine as narco submarines evade detection crossing the Atlantic. Portuguese authorities intercepted a narco sub with 1.7 metric tons of cocaine in the mid-Atlantic this fall. So I guess kind of to the point that you're making, Wesley, that these cartels are pulling out all the stops to make sure their cocaine gets to where it needs to go. I had no idea they had submarines, but
all right. So submarines, narco submarines.
It says right there, narco sub.
All right, go ahead, Wesley. Because well, I got.
No,
I got.
I'm done. Go.
Okay. I'm just thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
Narco submarines going from the Caribbean, right, all the way to Europe.
All the way to Europe. And from Portugal. I mean, from Brazil, I think.
Okay. If Tom Cruise
could.
And Liam Neeson, if they need a new movie idea for their characters, Taken and Mission Impossible 37,
that's right.
I think we're on to something right here. Taking on the
drug cartel,
you drop Tom Cruise in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean,
uh-huh.
And he swims down, and he opens the door.
To the
narco sub.
Takes them all on.
And takes them all on. You don't think he could do that?
Yeah, his goal is to be captured on purpose. And then he has a little bit of a pin where he escapes.
Right. See what I'm saying? You don't think that's a good idea for a movie?
I think it's an excellent idea for a movie. I'm not sure the Liam Neeson thing. I mean,
he may be too old to swim that far.
Taken number 8. Taken. I mean,
Taken again.
His next movie is
called Taken Again.
He had just about every family member taken multiple times. Yeah. I started to think, well, what kind of a CIA agent are you, or former? Anyway, but it is a cool idea for Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Top Gun.
Maybe he could.
Top Gun for sure.
I'm just thinking out loud here. Okay, we're just thinking out loud. Maybe take a jet ski
uh-huh.
and leave. leave Spain, or I guess Portugal, and head out to the land.
If a jet ski leaves
Madrid,
Caracas,
at 70 miles an hour.
Traveling east.
I'm just saying.
Better have a full tank.
Yeah.
Well, I'll call Tom Cruise's agent.
He's in his 60s, and Liam Neeson. Yeah, he's in his he's about 70 something.
Yeah, I don't think he can do
another taking.
I don't. So I think if someone else gets taken, he ought to just go. I'm sorry. Listen, my job is done.
I've saved six of you people.
You got taken again. It's on you.
You're stupid enough to go to that country. Hey,
you're stupid enough to get taken again. I'm not coming after you a second time.
That one's on you.
That'd be a short
movie. Am I right, Jason Bourne?
Your mistake. Yes, Jason Bourne.
No, Jason Bourne, he's out there again.
Yeah. He's got another movie?
He's running around the world.
How much money do these guys need? I'm assuming this is done.
I don't know if Jason Bourne has another movie. How many movies did they have?
Matt Damon.
Was that three?
Well, he was in three or four of them.
Bourne movies.
Yeah, they had a prequel or a sidequel or something like that with another actor.
I hate the prequels.
That's just not gonna. That's not good storytelling right there.
Nope.
All right. Well, we shall. Fred, thank you for your contribution.
All righty.
And Wesley, thank you for your kill 'em all insight.
You're welcome. By the way, I actually stopped myself.
He did. He held back.
I held back.
So, all right. We're going to take a short time out right here for news brought to you by the American Family Radio News reporting team.
Amen.
The aforementioned.
Breaking news.
And then we... Breaking news, we're going to the popcorn machine right here. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
No.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.